I will call the March 17th Happy St. Patrick's Day Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayer is excused.
Just a comment on that. The mayor doesn't have any authority over the Common Council, but tradition here has been that the alderman asked to be excused. So when you hear that, they can be excused if they want. It's not my business. But we have a quorum. Please rise. We have a scout with us tonight, Fred Falerski. Fred, please come forward and lead us in the pledge. So happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm happy to see all of you here. Unfortunately, you're here and not having green beer someplace. We do have a quorum and a properly noticed meeting. I'll move on to item B, citizens' comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Sir, please come forward. Give your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Joseph Clark. I live at 319 Michigan Avenue, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I'm here representing Growth Design Group Architects. I have the privilege of working with Southbrook Church here in Franklin. Just wanted to thank the City Planning Commission for the help they've given us with the various items that are in front of you tonight. And just to let the council know that we are here if there are any questions that we can help with during those items. Thank you very much.
Thank you and welcome. And again, thank you, Fred, for leading us in the pledge. Anyone else wishing to speak on any item? Pastor Ben.
My name is Benjamin Kurth, 7707 West Plainsview Drive here in Franklin. First, I'd like to speak in support of Southbrook Church's proposal for rezoning. I believe that healthy churches are a blessing to the community, as Southbrook has been and many years now, and Pastor Mysterian as well, being a personal encourager to me and a partner for the good of our community. The main reason, though, I'm up here to speak this evening is on behalf of my church family, Victory of the Lamb. Over the past 2 years, we've had the honor and privilege of working alongside of Shelley Runty and the rest of the Kayla's Crew board, sharing in their mission and their vision of bringing an incredible, all-inclusive, all-accessible playground to our community here in Franklin. In honor of a little girl, a very special girl named Kayla, whose story has really inspired so many people throughout our community. And from the beginning, we've tried to reflect the generous heart of our God who gave us his son that we could be a church that wants to bless our community for the greatest good. And so long as our site was the preferred site for Kayla's playground, we were happy to work at that goal with maximum energy to be a community partner to all along bring people together, that this would be something that united our community, not divided us, and brought about maximum blessing for kids and families and people of all abilities to come together. Recently, of course, the last 2 weeks especially, alternate sites have been put forward by the city for consideration. And I understand in that process that Kayla's crew has had to kind of take a step back from where we've been to reevaluate the new options that were just recently put on the table. As a pastor, I speak for my whole church family. We've had conversations the last few days, and I with many of you, that our goal in all this was never for ourselves. Of course, we certainly would. We still think we love where we're at with our land in Southwest Franklin, and would be honored to be able to be a community partner in some way, whether it would be hosting the playground, donating land to make that possible. But along this way, it's never been about us. We have wanted to honor the intent of Shelley the entire time, and with open and honest communication, that she could feel free with her team to do what they think is best in their hearts for Kayla's playground. And so, as Christians, we believe that the most powerful motivators in life, fear, guilt, sense of obligation, those have been removed by Jesus. And so he set us free to be motivated by love and to do what's right for the greater good. And so in this whole process, while we would still be honored to be a site to host Kayla's Playground through a land donation, yet we want to bless tonight you, our common council, and Shelly and Kayla's crew to be motivated by love and peace to make a decision for the playground that they feel is going to be in the best interest of all people for the maximum benefit of our community. And so with that, my hope and intent that this meeting would be one where no matter what anyone's personal opinions or preferences or maybe even after healthy discussion, political opinions might be, that of all the voices in this room, the one that I think should be honored the most and should be allowed to resonate with all of us would be that of Kayla's mom, Shelley, who has worked tirelessly at this, maintaining maximum integrity and bringing the community together, that I'd love to see tonight a decision made to honor their whole goal this whole time, that September would be the end goal for the playground to be built in honor of Kayla. And wherever that site would be, that we wish to give our blessing. And in any way that we can continue to be a partner with our community, you know, whatever the outcome of tonight's meeting is, that we believe that we've not only met a lot of new neighbors in this process, but Shelly, with you and your whole board, now and always some new friends. And that means a lot to me. So thank you, and may God bless our community.
Thank you, Pastor. I personally, you've been a dream to work with over the last, 10 months. So thank you, and thanks for your comment. Anyone else wishing to speak? Ms. Runty.
My name is Shelley Runty, and I reside at 8235 West Coventry Drive. I would like to begin by publicly thanking Pastor Ben and all the members of the Victory Lamb Church. I would like to personally, and on behalf of Kayla's crew, thank you in the endless support that you have given Kayla's crew and our mission to build a playground for all abilities. You were there to offer land when we had no other options. This has been a journey, and I want you to know this was not an easy decision personally or for our advisory board members, especially since every response you have is guided by God's grace to see the good in all people. Your programs reflect full inclusion in our community, and as a resident of the city of Franklin, I am very happy that Victory for Lamb is part of our community. Thank you. On to business. At the last Common Council meeting, we were anticipating the approval of a plan to develop Kayla's Playground at Victory of the Lamb's future land on Loomis Road. Alderwoman Wilhelm expressed some concerns, mainly costs, and asked that we have an open mind in considering other sites at a cost savings. Mayor Olson directed the city staff to look at alternative sites which would accommodate Kayla's Playground. We, as Kayla's crew, had looked at all the park sites back in 2013, but it had not been visited since our partnership with Victory of the Lamb. Since our project has been driven by community involvement and donations, we felt it was our obligation to be good stewards to compare potential cost savings at other existing park sites. Since that meeting, Glenn Morrow led the city engineering department in a comprehensive study of potential sites, narrowing it down to 6 or 7 sites and putting together an informational packet that all of us have seen and you are seeing tonight. We, Kayla's crew, have studied that packet, viewed the cost involved, visited all the sites in an effort to view with an open mind an alternative location for Kayla's Playground. We shared our feedback with the city staff. We as a group worked very hard to get those details that you have before you tonight. One site stood out amongst the others. Pleasant View Neighborhood Park, in our eyes, is the optimal site for Kayla's Playground. It is an existing park with the need of a playground. It's in the schematic. It has much of the infrastructure in place, city water and sewer, a road with a turnabout, much like the road that we were looking at Victory of the Lamb, an existing parking lot, and an accessible walking trail through a beautiful area of land which is home to native plantings. The location is central and easy to find, but most importantly, it is a multi-purpose park allowing for people of all abilities to enjoy. We envision families visiting the park and utilizing the many offerings of proposed amenities: tennis courts, basketball courts, senior gathering space, multi-purpose field. Certainly, there are plans to build a pavilion, one that we can that can be made fully accessible with family restrooms. Our mission is about accessibility and inclusion, and this location allows for people of all abilities to be together and learn the life lessons that have inspired our mission. We want to thank all the city staff for all their work on this and their support. We've received nothing but unanimous support from the staff, elected officials, and park committee members, much the same as we've had from the community. It is our hope and expectation that the council members will vote tonight and select the site so that we can begin in the process of building and planning for building Kayla's Playground in September of this year. After all, we ordered 2 playground sides and a wheelchair-accessible playground swing all the way from Australia and Germany that will be arriving soon. We have a flyer ready to be shared with potential donors and sponsors. We're ready to go. We just need to be able to check that mark, check the box that says that we have land. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Runcie. Anyone else wish to speak on any matter? Speak now or forever hold that. There we go. Name and address for us.
My name is Paul Reinders, 4880 West Evergreen Street. I've been involved with Kayla's crew, not directly, but some of my organizations have helped on fundraising with them for years. I'm a huge fan of what Kayla's crew is doing for the community. I think their program is going to make Franklin a regional draw, and their whole program is just great for this community and the families and the people that they serve. Unfortunately, I've also been talking to elected officials, people on the Parks Commission, reading the same informational packets that you guys have. And I'll flat out say I live on Evergreen Street. I've already done that. I live right next door to Pleasant View Park. I don't necessarily think that that's the best point to put this park. It's a residential neighborhood. It's going to be a regional draw. All I ask from what I see in the regional, in the informational packets, I see a lot of information that, in my opinion, seems to be more subjective and emotional than factual and quantitative in nature. I don't see any reason for the council necessarily to make a hard and fast decision tonight. All I ask is that we take maybe a little bit more time, maybe gather our own data, do our own due diligence, and make sure that we find a park site that will work for both Kayla's crew and the entire community.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, I'm Bill Frank. I live on 4980 West Evergreen Street. And as a resident of Evergreen Street, I have a number of concerns about the expansion of our neighborhood park into a regional attraction, that being Pleasant View Park. Evergreen Street residents were presented a plan for Pleasant View Park on February 13, 2014. The meeting was hosted at the Clare Meadows Senior Apartment Complex. At the time, here's an example of something that came up. There are concerns that Evergreen Street is going to bear the brunt of a more fully developed park. If it's a limited use park, it won't be so much traffic. Well, if you expand beyond the limited use, then we're kind of back to that original statement that was made in February of 2014 expressing concern. The residents agreed and did not protest to park plan based on what we were presented with at the time. Now that the park construction has been almost completed based on the plans that we were presented, we're being presented with yet another attempt to change the design and expand the park into a regional destination. The park has been embraced by the residents based on an understanding that this would be a neighborhood park only. There were initial concerns about only having one access road into the park. However, we were reassured that the single access road would be sufficient for handling the volume of a neighborhood park. Now that the scope is expanding to consider installation of a regional attraction, the street access and parking is nowhere near sufficient for the destination that this park will become. So you have a park, you have a certain number of parking spaces that were planned for the neighborhood park. Now you're expanding it into a regional park. You have the same number of parking spaces, and you have the same infrastructure. In order to make that into a regional park, you'd have to consider better planning with regards to the parking and the infrastructure. This will likely become a huge and busy destination, bringing in people from surrounding communities. This was never the intent. A repurposing of this magnitude would require more planning than just copying and pasting a picture of the playground on top of a diagram of the existing park, which essentially is what we have right now as far as a plan. There are many other sites that are more appropriate and suitable for handling this type of destination, including but not limited to Framing Park. It seems that until recently, Victory of the Lamb was the primary focus. If there are too many cons for that to happen, then there needs to be more planning around the new site rather than haphazardly deciding on Pleasant View. If there is a problem with coordinating the fundraising efforts with the city and also with the county, that should not be a reason to burden residents on Evergreen Street with a regional attraction when there are safer and more suitable sites available. So in other words, I believe that county should be considered as well as city in this situation. By definition, Evergreen Street is a cul-de-sac. That means only one road in and out. City ordinance already limits the length of a cul-de-sac to 800 feet. When this issue was brought up in the past, it seemed like something that could be overlooked so long as the scope of the park was limited to neighborhood. So that brings up the question, is there any estimate on what the traffic volume will be? Should there be a study? Here's a publication titled Residential Streets, Third Edition, which is a joint publication of Urban Land Institute, National Association of Home Builders, ASCE, and ITE. It recommends dead-end street length be controlled by traffic volume. Any increase in traffic volume on this dead-end street above and beyond what the neighborhood park will bring in should not be an option. So in other words, you've already got UDO regulation section 15-5.0103 that limits the length of the cul-de-sac, which is a street that has one end permanently closed, that shall not exceed 800 feet in length. And so there's a reason for that being in the ordinance, and there's a reason why these professional publications are talking about limiting the amount of traffic on a cul-de-sac based on length and also based on the type of attraction that you would have. So if you have a cul-de-sac that is intended for residential homes, you throw in a neighborhood park, everyone agrees, we can handle that. Now you expand it into a regional attraction, which is way outside the scope of the neighborhood park with one access point and is also in violation of the city ordinance. As far as noise, we've heard cons of noise being a problem at some of the other sites. At Pleasant View Park, we have a firehouse and police sirens very close by. We have airport noise. We have a community alert siren, which is for tornadoes and other community alerts, and also is tested periodically during the day. It's very loud. I can hear it from inside my house with the windows closed. You would not be able to sleep through it. It's good to have that level of alert. It's doing its job, but it's not a quiet area. And then also, there is blasting from the quarry. Loud noise and ground-shaking vibrations. I would like people who want to put Kayla's Crew in Pleasant View Park to consider if that is something that would be desirable for their location. Much of the traffic burden for a neighborhood park is alleviated by the number of area residents that will arrive on foot, bike, rollerblades, etc. A regional attraction implies that all of the users will arrive by motorized vehicles via the only access road, which is Evergreen Street. So as it stands now, you've got people walking into the park, you've got people riding their bikes, we've got sidewalks, and some people will drive into the park, and we feel that we have the parking and the infrastructure on our road to handle that. But expanding it into a regional destination is going to create many unintended consequences. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Thank you. Hi, my name is Peter Rajenovich, also a resident of Evergreen Street with my wife and 22-month-old daughter. Just wanted to voice that, like Paul and Bill had stated, that it is our recommendation that we would like the park to stay as is right now, not in any way, shape, or form against Kayla's crew or anything like that, but it was built to be truly a neighborhood park. There are safer places that this park could be put on. Our street would pick up a lot of traffic, especially if a second road was not put in, and would cost the city a lot of money to do so, which is something that would have to be weighed in upon. So really, the safety is what I wanted to talk about the families that have children, like Paul's family, like my family, like many others there, that have to be taken into account for this site. So for those reasons, I feel that there's probably better places to put this that are also more visible to the community, that would have better access on and off the road if they were to travel there by car. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to speak? Anyone else? Okay, here we go. Closing the citizen comment period. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. Paul, thanks for your service. I'll move to B1, a couple of mayoral announcements. There will be a public meeting regarding 27th Street reconstruction. It's in your packet, March 26th, 5 until 6:30. And the public is welcome to go and visit, view the plans for 27th Street reconstruction and offer comments. Also, I regret to let everyone know that we're going to lose Captain Joe Knoll from the police department. Joel's been with us, I've got to say, 30 years, a long time. His last day will be at the end of April. So I'm happy for Joel, but I'm sad for the city. That's my announcements. Item C1, the approval of March 3rd Common Council meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I'd just like to make a correction to G3, although it wasn't a motion. As the people noted here tonight in the 17 pages of staff work note, that the council did provide direction to staff to evaluate sites for the Kayla's playground. I thought that was important since directly is referenced on G7 item.
Suggested language?
It was the action for council direction to staff to evaluate sites for Kayla's playground.
Well, Alderman Evans.
There was no motion, so there was no action. So.
Well, it's adding to the record. I don't see a problem.
Okay. I'll amend my motion to approve then.
Is that your approval, Mr. Alderman Mayor? I think you were second.
No, I was.
Doug?
I'll approve it.
Mr. City Attorney.
Perhaps to clarify that there was no motion, it should simply have a note that following discussion by the Common Council members, the mayor directed the city staff to review potential other sites.
All those in favor of the motion as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the minutes for March 9th, special common council meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It's because I wasn't here. Item D, proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change future land use map use designation for a property approximately, I love this, 10819, 10835, 10847, and 10836 West Allwood Drive from residential use to institutional use. Southbrook Church is the applicant. Madam Clerk, you have a notice to read. I'll get it out.
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, March 17th, 2015, at 6:30 p.m. or soon thereafter, as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall, to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the future land use map use designation for property located at approximately 10819, 10835, 10847, and 10836 West Allwood Drive from residential use to institutional use, Southbrook Church, Inc. applicant. Properties which are the subject of this application bear tax key numbers 799.
there. 2 summers ago, I went over there and talked to Pastor Jonathan and his partners, and they immediately cleared up the situation and took complete accountability for the situation and took care of it. They're very good neighbors. As he indicated, they're constantly giving to the community, so I fully support this.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to approve, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Vote is 5-0. Is there a motion to approve an ordinance to amend the Unified Development
say it that way. Typically, we would have a map that's even more detailed than the map they gave us at the Plan Commission meeting. And we did, in our staff report to the Plan Commission, add that recommend that the Plan Commission approve this mitigation plan subject to final review and approval by staff. Plan Commission didn't follow that or did support that recommendation. I would still request that or suggest that that motion for further review by staff. I can also mention that one of the older persons did call me with a couple of suggestions and ideas that if it was favorable to the applicants, staff would be supportive of too. We could deal that with the staff review and approval. So staff is recommending approval of the mitigation plan with the commission for final review and approval by staff.
So moved.
I'll second.
I was the one who called. I think Mr. Deagle has addressed my concerns, and he's given me confidence that he can handle it in-house. Just specifically, just to let you know, one of the areas was the use of the word creating, which is a mitigation term, and I'd ask that we change to executing, so it's not in reference to a mitigation term that would change the meaning of that. And there were a couple other things we talked about, and I'm comfortable with that. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor to approve with staff review and recommend, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G6. There is a new G6 council action form at your place. Request from Parks Commission for the County Council to designate Kayla's Playground as the official name of the all-inclusive. The all-accessible, all-inclusive playground and park nature center.
Move to approve.
Without the
second.
Address. Been moved and seconded. All those in any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, direction to staff to direct staff to proceed with the development of Kayla's crew at a specific site, Mr. City Engineer. And Ms. Runty, if you want to join us. Mr. City Engineer.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you recall at the last council meeting, we were directed to proceed with design considerations at Victory the Lamp site on Loomis Road. In addition, I believe the exact words were keep an open mind on other sites throughout the city. So come back with some recommendations. So here we are tonight. To start with, we looked at 30 sites in Franklin. Basically, we picked every single city park site that we have. We looked at county park sites that are located within the city of Franklin. And we also looked at some private sites that we thought would be worthy of consideration. And these are locations to see that they were scattered. Of those 30 sites, 19 sites we immediately threw out. Actually, some more immediate than others. But the reasons why we threw those out are shown. Some were just too small. Some had were already congested with other park facilities. Some had a lot of woods. Without any room for this facility. Some were just a trail, some were at various issues that you see that. Some had no utility access. We do need water and sewer for our pavilion. We had an additional 5 sites, of the sites that are left, we threw out another 5 sites. If we had to, these 5 sites probably could work pretty well. They had space, we could fit things in, but we had some concern about some soils. Some were limited space. The too small in comparison to others. We concerned about fill. Some of them had a fill that we dredged from a lake, and so we weren't sure exactly how deep some of the fill was. And some had private ownership. So we did look at several sites. We really narrowed down the list to 6 potential sites to spend our time on these past 2 weeks. And I want to give a big shout out to Assistant City Engineer Ron Rowe. sites are, of course, Victory of the Lamb that we were directed to look at on Loomis Road. We looked at Legend Park. This is the site across from the library, across from the, actually immediately behind our water tower and the fire station. We looked at Fremming Park, the county park over on 51st Street. We looked at St. Martin's Park, behind the school there off of Robin Wood Lane. Southwood Glen Park, again behind another school, but a little bit better access. Hilltop Avenue was the avenue we looked at. And Pleasant View, behind Pleasant View School, 4620 Evergreen. Before we start through this journey, I just want to point out a couple things that are very important. These are just sketches. We know that we have a pretty big audience looking at this, and we want you to know that we have not put a lot of thought as to bringing in a steering group and talking about pros and cons. But what we did was we took the park site, as it was shown on Victory of the Lamb, basically cut that out and put it on top of the other site, just to show that this site.
Before you do that, we got DNR in the brain. I did talk to them this afternoon. They asked me for additional information, which would cause additional staff time. I told them, pending the discussion and the action tonight, I'd get back to them tomorrow.
Okay. The pros for this site, we do have a tremendous amount of goodwill with the church, the public, and Kayla's. You heard all the discussion prior to the meeting tonight. This has been a project long in the making, and there's been a lot of folks that have been told about this site and looking forward to it, and people identify this site with the Kayla's Crew site. The neighboring MMSD properties are amenities, even though DNR is very restrictive on what we can do. There are some things we can do, and it is a nice amenity. I'm not sure we can make it wheelchair accessible very easily, but there is a way for a pathway, and we can make use of some of the amenities that they have there. Existing planning, this has gone through Plan Commission. Our planning staff has spent a lot of time looking at all the issues, and we have a roadmap on how to get from beginning to end. Access from Loomis. Loomis is a significant road in the city, and it is very easily findable. We can make a butterfly garden and wetland on the MMSD property. As you know, butterfly is the theme of much of the park, and we would like to do a butterfly garden. This does provide a park for the southwest portion of the city. It's been long talked about. This would be an option to get that going. It is quiet, even though it's got good access to Loomis. It's quiet because it's tucked behind the church. It's access to a nature area, so it is a place where, even though you can find it easily, you can be somewhat tucked back and a little bit quieter. Supervision and key access, almost 7 days per week, whenever the church is open. If you don't recall, I believe it's called the Liberty Swing, has a little key that enables it to operate so that normal kids can't just get on and play on it and tear it up without supervision. So the idea is you'd like to have a key to actually make it operate. The church would be open most days, and so if you're a family here in Franklin, the idea is that you'd have your own key. But if you're a visitor, there has to be a place fairly nearby where you can know to go and borrow a key to make the swing operate. The access to Greendale. You may ask the question, why, if it's a Franklin park using Franklin funds, why do we care if we have easy access to Greendale? The reason why is much of the fundraising so far has come from Greendale residents. So probably over half the money raised thus far is estimated to be from Greendale, so they want to make sure it's accessible. This site does not require a CORP or CMP amendments because it's already included. There's really minimal neighborhood impacts. There's not a neighborhood that you'd be driving through to get to it. The neighbors... compared to the others, is not really an issue. And there are offsets through assessments. Because we would be building a public road and there is some other things that we would be doing on the site, we could assess Victory of the Lamb to offset some of the cost. Some of the cons for the site, there are no neighborhood connections. It is nice to have a park where you can easily get to on stroller or bicycle. It is a very small site. It's very crowded. If we ever wanted to expand the site, we really have to look at another site. CSM process to separate parcel combined with MMSD. Because of the way we're going to locate the equipment, it's too close to property lines, so we actually have to combine it with the MMSD property. There are a lot of variances required. We do have a list of those, and we do have a roadmap on how to get there, but there are a lot of variances we'd have to go through. There are significant development costs. This is the most expensive project that we looked at compared to the others. There is a central location to other park facilities. The cons, proximity to the library, as I mentioned, loaning the swing card or the key. And we would need to construct a pavilion on a very tight budget. We have since increased the budget to make it fair and comparable to the others. But this would require a new pavilion. Before we leave the site, Shelley, is there any other pros and cons you'd like to add? Okay. Just to show you what this looks like, I had a request to, could we overlay that site to show the wetlands and how that impacts. So this, you can see the site. I took it and superimposed it. It's fairly close to the aerial. The wetland to the on the top of your page here, there's a wetland out next to the road. The way this is, it would actually avoid all the wetlands. There's also a wetland in the back, so it's nestled in there. It would disturb some trees, and our staff actually, not only engineering, but Public Works, our tree arborist, worked with one of Shelley's... what's her name?
Happy Tree Service.
And we actually did a tree survey, and we take about 30% of the trees on the parcel. So it doesn't exceed the 30%, but it does max out the 30%. So...
Is it necessary to note that the other Southwest road coming in that requires DNA I worked in a genetics lab at one time. DNR approval that road did have a circle drive. I think that's important.
Yeah,
in
our original concept, we actually had coming off 116th Street. We had a drive either on this parcel or the adjacent parcel. MMSD asked us to place it on the northern parcel, but they had trouble locating the property owner, so we weren't sure how well we would have doing the same. We did have a turnaround, but again, we would have to go through DNR and get special permission to put that on their property.
Glenn, I think Shelley's referring to original alternate A.
Right.
Was,
just for those in the audience, I think it's important to
which
note that we did have a turnaround.
Cut,
yes.
Cut across the wetlands and then yes. Into where the current drive is.
Right. Correct. The preferred alternative did have a turnaround.
Right.
So.
Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just for a little specificity with regard to DNR, the adjoining land is owned by MMSD. There had been discussions starting last July. Email communications, phone calls, et cetera, and the simple answer was three or four times from three or four or five different officials from the city. The answer was no, we can't do that with regard to a 116th Street access. My concern was when we received the transfer documents where DNR acquired the property, conveyed it to the Conservation Fund, who conveyed it to MMSD, there were provisions in there about an existing access or existing road may be used for public access, and there's a provision about developing a parking lot so the public can have access to the property, provided it's less than an acre. So those were questions out there, and ultimately those specifically went to the director of the MMSD in a meeting in person that the mayor set up back in January. There were also 28 people from DNR, MMSD, Milwaukee County, et cetera, met in the hearing room, and I believe that might have been at the end of January, and the issue about an access decision was brought up, and they said, well, it would still be a pending DNR decision. Subsequent to that, city staff met at MMSD with MMSD staff. They did not say, no, you can't do it. They ultimately referred it to DNR. So there have been written requests to the specified contact person at DNR back on February 11th with regard to the street going out to access road out to 116th Street. There were phone discussions in that regard. Also, I believe it was on March 3rd after a new proposed access came in, which is that original southern access onto Loomis across the property to immediately to the south of the church property was reviewed by the Common Council. That was a request up to DNR. Further phone call discussions on it. The answer 2 weeks ago was the program director will review it with the contact person. The mayor followed up. We're waiting for some form of decision. Mayor followed up with an email yesterday evening. Today, the individual handling this at DNR called mayor, called me, and the bottom line is they're looking for a little bit more of a quote, a little more formal application, and really what they're looking for is along the lines of, are there reasonable, practicable alternatives available? In other words, can something substitute for this for the same amount of cost or whatever? And also, exactly what are the impacts on resources involved? So that's where it's at, and it's just more of a formal presentation, but no decision has been made by MMSD or DNR. Thank you.
Oh, and just the final dovetail on the DNR MMSDs, and this is financial. We're going to use the value of the land that's donated by MMSD from the Wildlife Fund, from DNR, to offset the cost of the impact fees so that the net on the investment by the city comes from impact fees, which are collected from those people who build new property in the city and pay this fee. So the net is that on all of these proposals, we'll use no taxpayer tax levy dollars. So we'll all be impact fees balanced against the donation of this land from MMSD. Can't transfer the land from MMSD until we understand what the terms and conditions are that they'll impose or will impose on the land next to Kayla's crew. So that's why we have to wait until all this. So now you know how sausage gets made. Mr. City Attorney, City Engineer.
Thank you. I did want to point out that the church has been very good to work with, and their engineer has gone through several iterations. We received this proposed site change yesterday to make it a little more competitive with the other sites we're looking at. I mentioned that it's a very tight site. They showed how the pavilion could be moved to create some more open space within the fenced area. So there is an option to create a little bit more space.
I do have a question on that last one.
Sure.
With the pavilion moved, does that affect the tree survey map, or does that increase it over 30%?
It would be very close. We'd have to look at that again.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess what I was looking at is the same area with the arrow. It says future parking. Does that then cut into that future parking area? We're moving that over there?
It does, but as I understand the, and I have been very involved in the site plan for the church, but they had more than enough parking for their needs, and then we had more than enough parking for what we were proposing. So it does cut into the parking that was shown, so there'd be less parking, but they had plenty of parking to give.
Well, if there's enough parking, then why are the parking lots smaller than typical parking sizes?
I don't know that I can answer that question. Joel?
The majority of the parking stalls that would be too small are the ones that are going to be located next to the proposed public road. So they would like to get islands and drive aisles and enough parking as close to the church proper as they can, and it's primarily those spaces that would be too small. The drive aisles would be too small, and then some of those spaces would be encroaching into the right-of-way of the proposed public road.
Okay. I don't see a stormwater basin on here yet. So do we know if we...
It would be located between the wetland and the parking lot proposal.
I see the location, but I don't see how it will fit, because that, from what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing from most development plans, you're probably going to have to encroach additionally into the tree line in that aspect. So you'll have from the wetland all the way down to the other wetland encroachment on that entire tree line, which looks like it's over half the property. And so I was wondering how you were coming up with 30% when it just obvious look at the length tells you it's more than that. So just you don't have to. I'm just pointing out some things that I have yet to get the site plan. We've gotten an overlay like this. I just asked for the plan commission packet, but council hasn't seen this. What we haven't see either is the detailed site plan for Kayla's crew. And the only thing I can tell by looking at it is the there, I don't see where it meets ADA accessibility if the fence is up next to the parking lot, because I thought there was now a requirement to have a walkway in front, sidewalk in front of access all around the cars, and I'm not sure if that's there.
I believe there is a real fence strip. Yeah, Glenn is showing it with the laser pointer.
Is that fence or sidewalk?
I believe that's sidewalk.
There's sidewalk.
Okay. And then they'll need a variance for the backside from the property as well?
Possibly. The setbacks are different, whether this is retains the zoning of institutional or is zoned to park. Park setbacks are bigger than the institutional, and which one we call front and back and side. The minimum setback in any event will be 10 feet, but the rear yard setback in park district is 50, and that applies to any structures, accessory structures that are greater than 150 square feet. So if individual park equipment would be all individually less than 150, then that'd be okay. If any piece of equipment is larger than 150 square feet, those setbacks apply.
Okay, so that brings me to the question that I had when he said combining it with the MMSD property. How if I'm not aware that they combine any of their properties because they hold easements over the top of them, so I can see you combining it as a use but not a legal combination. So I was confused by how you were going to be able to do that.
It was my understanding that you could combine it with the property next door, but only the part that's the MMSD property now is what would have the restrictions on it. Does that sound correct, Joel?
Mr. City Attorney.
I did get bring that up with the DNR staff this afternoon, and I can hear a no, you can't do that.
If I can suggest, keep the comments and questions to a high level until we get closer on one or two. And just out of the sake of time, and then we can go back and dissect the one or two that you may want to choose between and do it that way, because we want to go through four sites, five sites, six sites.
I guess, how will I know if this will be one of my sites or not if I don't get my questions answered?
Well, I'm not suggesting that you don't get your questions answered. The level of detail you're looking for is very appropriate. But we stopped doing that kind of work based on the fact that we weren't sure that this was the site, that you may want to go to another site. So rather than invest staff time and money in sites, specific details on each of the sites, it just didn't make financial sense.
Okay, well, I can make this really short. Based on the MyCon list and the questions and the variances that are needed, this wouldn't be one of my sites at this point.
I think that's very valid. This is an extremely tight site. I don't think anyone dismisses that. We had trouble fitting the stormwater detention in when we had, if you will, more room, and now that we're trying to cram more things into it, I haven't seen a full design, but it would be very tight. Next site is what we call the Lions Legend Park. This is across from the library. The library is actually to your left up here. The fire station is, as is shown on the roof, and we have our water tower right there. This is Schluter. Did I say that? Schluter Road?
Sure.
Okay. And again, what we did was we just took a footprint of what was proposed at Loomis site, and we pasted on these other sites. So we do have a lot more room here. We are in the way of a ball field, and we would have to relocate that. We include that cost in with our options. The idea is that you would come off of the road, buses could come around, and they could actually park in the parking lot for the library or over City Hall when they're waiting for the students to finish their activities. We would, as most of these sites, we would have the ADA accessible sites close to the park, and the non-accessible ones across the way. This does fit in the site. This is also important to note that it is owned by the city, so it does have good visibility. It's accessible from Schluter Parkway. You know, with a lot of our other park activities, this is fits right in there. Proximity to the library, we talked about loaning the key. If a family was visiting, they could actually just walk across the parking lot. The library was open most days. And if not there, we'd talk to the fire department. That it is possible we could maybe have a secondary key to the fire department for when the library is closed. It does have good bus access. We can again bring buses in and out, and we have a place to queue them. EMT assistance at the fire station. So if there were a need for emergency, we really just in the backyard. We have some medics that are there most of the time unless they're out on a run. Again, good access to Greendale. We mentioned why that's important. It's already city-owned. It's a very active community park since it's warmed up. I don't know if you've noticed how busy the park facility is over there. And it is close to neighborhoods. You can get there walking, strollers, and bicycles, and that sort of thing. Cons for the site, we would have to relocate the actual softball field. That's been modified from a baseball to a softball diamond. We already have several playgrounds in the vicinity. We would need to construct a new pavilion. There is a pavilion across the way, but to have one accessible for the kids that are here, you need some restrooms right there. We would have to relocate the St. Alphonsus football team. Hopefully we could find another place where they could practice. It would have an impact to the 4th of July fireworks park. I haven't been here for that yet, but that's the first word that's out of everybody's mouth is the con for the site. It limits opportunities for the fire department expansion if they ever wanted to expand to the south. It is a little noisy for the park patrons. If the rear doors are open when the fire engines leave and they're wailing, it is quite loud. We have explored some possibilities. We could do some sound barriers across here, and there's also with the new signal systems that we're putting in our police and fire, we can actually put a very inexpensive stoplight in front of the station, so when they leave the doors, they can actually turn everything red for the other traffic on Drexel. They can get out, and once they get out on Drexel, then they can turn the sirens on, and the fire chief is willing to do that. This requires a third pavilion in the same park, which may seem like a con, but as I understand, once rental season opens, every single weekend we have every single pavilion rented on both Saturdays and Sundays throughout the entire season. So having another pavilion is not necessarily a bad thing. Any more comments, pros, cons, Shelley?
I do want to just stress that the sirens from the fire department are of concern of mine with the population that we're trying to reach out to of special needs. Larry, a board member of Kayla's crew, and myself stood out in the field, and Chief Remington had sounded the horn and the siren upon leaving the department in an effort to give us a dry run of what it would sound like at that location. And it was loud, very loud. We're in very, very close proximity. While I love the fact that there's services there if there needs to be an EMT, but the con is also a concern of mine. And we do have some professionals in the audience if you would like to hear or question them at this time. Or if you want to wait, that would be fine too, if that's an issue.
I would like to question them if we could.
Motion to suspend the rules and allow individuals to speak.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll say it at once. Any opposed? Motion carries. The special ed folks from the middle?
Ben Franklin Elementary School.
Kayla's instructors.
Her teachers.
If you would be so kind as to give us your names and addresses, that would be wonderful.
Brenda Bart, 26325 Dukelith Drive, Windlake.
Yes, sir.
Kathy Largen Ringship, 2140 South 82nd Street, West Allis.
Amy Hurley, South 74 West 15539 Knollwood Court, Muskego.
Thank you, ladies. A couple of questions. First of all, you don't know me. And I haven't met you before tonight.
No, tonight.
The reason I do that for other reasons, but appreciate you coming. the purpose in their being here, a conversation with Alderwoman Evans had the similar conversation with all of us of how valid is this issue of sirens. And Alderwoman Evans was kind enough to reach out to the superintendent, who in turn, I guess, reached out to you folks. It's important that we get facts, not suppositions. I make an assumption that may or may not be correct. So that's why I felt it important that we have people who actually work with these students every day and who can tell us the real story. So there you go. So impact of sirens, loud noises, that kind of thing?
Many of these people, not just children, as Shelley said, there will be parents also who might need to be there because of their special needs and to help them interact with their kids. But many of these people startle from the loud noises. That startle reflex never goes away. And for some of these people, it does cause seizures, which can then go on and on. I mean, they aren't necessarily just short little seizures, but it can really affect them negatively.
Especially with an unexpected sound, because it's not something that we know is going to happen, so we can't forewarn them that the sound is coming up. And then it can cause those startles and even move into seizures. And then when you're looking at students or adults on the autism spectrum disorder, for these individuals, it may be even painful for them because they are so sensitive to auditory stimuli coming in their sensory systems.
For the adults and children with autism on the autism spectrum, the loud, unexpected noises, many of them, their sensory systems aren't intact like ours are, and it really negatively affects them. And instead of this being a positive thing for their family, they can end up in total meltdown mode, you know, and ruin the entire experience for the whole family, not just that person.
So the next question logically would be, how does being in a in an environment where there are other children, other people playing and enjoying themselves and maybe laughing and screaming and maybe screaming in joy, how does that impact?
Well, when it comes to autism spectrum disorders, it's a very individual thing. For some kids and adults, that could be very aversive also. But when you compare that to the loud noise that you'll get from the fire engines, from the sirens and things, I mean, that's a whole different level. Even at school with our fire drills, we have to be very, very careful with our kids that we work with. A lot of them wear headphones. We're given warning of the fire drills so that we can prepare our kids so that they know what's happening, so that we can get them out of the building. And we have those things close by at all times. Not all the families are prepared like that. Sometimes you just can't predict either when the child is going to fall apart or the adult, when it's going to be difficult for the adult to deal with that.
Now, Shelley, when we arranged to have you hear the sirens, you went to, as well, Pleasant View, and where else did you go?
Just Pleasant View.
Mm-hmm. And your experience there was what?
The buffer and the tree line and the distance away from the fire station, it didn't cause an issue at all.
And just for the public's knowledge, Schlieder Parkway is used as a cut-through for paramedic EMS, ambulance service, and as well fire apparatus if they're going to areas along Forest Hill Avenue, which include the seniors' complexes. Is that correct, Paul? That's right.
I'm here as a citizen.
Okay. Noted. There we are.
And I think, you know, the distance that you build away from the fire department, the further away you're going to get. And it's not as startling being so close. Okay. And I did hear a difference in both locations. And I mean, you can question the professionals, too.
I have some questions. I guess wouldn't those same children have issues with sometimes movement, light, and other types of problems too?
Yes, sometimes they do. Mm-hmm.
So,
But sometimes the movement helps these students, and that's actually what they need. So the swings, spinning, so they seek
really
these types of things out. So
it
really,
like a really variable.
That is correct.
It's a spectrum, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. You can't really pin it down. What do you say the percentage of children that will be using the site will, you know, how
would have those sensory?
Right. What
the
percentage
that
are we talking about?
I can't predict. I mean, you don't know how many people with on the autism spectrum would be there. But it's not just the autism. It's, as we said, other special needs children also, especially with disabilities such as CP, still have that startle reflex, and it can build into something more than just that startle.
For example, when Kayla, she had a learned response. So oftentimes when we would know, like a soda can, you'd pop open a soda can and say, "Loud noise, Kayla." She would know it was coming, and she wouldn't startle and go into a
right,
seizure.
That's been my experience, is so, that if you associate it with something good, and every time you might hear a siren, you think, oh, this is a great place I get to play, they get that learned experience as well.
Well, it's unpredictable, so, though. The siren is unpredictable.
Yeah.
The soda can is predictable.
Yeah. It's the unexpected.
You have control over that variable.
It's giving the warning.
So, mm-hmm. I was just wondering, we have a health department here. Is there any particular reason why we didn't turn to our city staff? Because I'm very familiar with the, you know, our health department and their knowledge, and I'm just wondering, I don't know what the credentials are. I know what the health department's credentials are. So I'm not questioning that. It would have been nice to have our own city staff come forward. So
yeah, the answer to that question is that their area of expertise isn't specific to this. They have general knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested after talking with Alderwoman Evans of more specific knowledge and day-to-day activities with the individuals that we're talking about.
Well, and actually, we all have worked in the past with children on the autism spectrum disorder. We've worked for many years with them. I've worked with children with a variety of disabilities, wheelchair-bound, CP. Mrs. Bard has worked with the orthopedically impaired program for years, and Mrs. Hurley has worked with a variety also. I've been in Franklin School District for 15 years, and I've worked with special needs children with those types of disabilities for most of that time.
I want everybody to understand the nature of this questioning. It's because the council has to balance the various pros and cons for each one of these sites, and this is a particular issue that's most drastic in this particular area, but it comes into play. So what's the balance here? And that's what the council's trying to.
Right, and I guess how do we know, just because we have someone who stood out there on a site, you know, what I'm hearing from my residents over on there is that the noise from there is very loud too. So how can we judge the decibel level based on someone who doesn't have an issue versus someone who does? So while we may think it's not very loud, the Pleasant View site might be also have an ability of a decibel to set things off as well. So how are you, as an expert, how can you tell me what decibel level will cause that reaction? Is it the fire station that's, you know, this far away, or is it the fire station that's this far away? How can we address that decibel level as far as what's the kick-in?
I guess the only way to deal with the decibel level, I mean, to know exactly what it is would be to go out and measure, you know, when a siren is set off in one area, what is the decibel level, and go to the other and do the same, and then look at the traffic. I mean, the mayor said that the traffic on Schluti is that's used as an access for many different emergency vehicles, and compare that to the one at Pleasant View,
my point was decibel level for impact on setting off the health issue. What is that kick-in point? Because
There isn't one. Each person is individual. And I guess the thing to me would be to pick the site that is quieter. When you're comparing two sites, if one is markedly louder and has more emergency traffic, that would be a site to me that I would really question its viability for the population you're looking at. You know, and like I said, the only way to know which is really louder would be to go out there and actually measure the decibel level. You'd have to see what it is.
Catch it when they're blasting at the quarry.
If I can hearken back to my engineering training, and I'll get the formula wrong, but it's similar to sound decreases by half for every, by half the distance. For every, if you go 10 feet, the sound is halved. So but it's logarithmic, it's not arithmetic. So.
Well, and I worked at Pleasant View School for a number of years when I first came to the district, and to be quite honest, the quarry blasting never bothered me.
Well,
I didn't find it.
Let's not get into the quarry issue.
Well, let's pass on first.
Any other questions for the instructors? Alderwoman Evans.
I just have a comment. We're talking about human beings here, not robots or machines, as far as a certain level setting every individual off. So everyone is individual, everyone is unique and different. So
my example.
Yeah. Everybody agrees to that. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate you coming. Yes, I'm sorry. Alderman Schmidt, I'm sorry.
Yes, I think you just kind of helped crystallize things, and you said that the decibel levels are a very important criteria this, dealing with autistic children. And so this, I guess you would deem as one of the main factors in determining which site would be the best, right, as far as which is most peaceful relating to the...
I think it's a very important factor, yeah. When we're looking at, as I said, more than autism spectrum disorders, you know, for other disorders too, because of the startles and the seizures, and, you know, it affects many of people with the disabilities.
Alderman Mayer.
Is Doug done?
Yeah.
Okay. Glenn, you mentioned the possibility of some sound barrier.
Obviously, there's trees that you see there. We talked about possibly some walls, and of course the signal. I don't know space.
Yeah,
the
stop go light. Right?
Yes, sir. You know, those are measures we could do to help mitigate the noise, but it is directly outside the back door of the fire station.
Right. I really like this site. I don't. No disrespect to you guys. I respect your expertise, too, and if that's what it comes down to, then this site probably isn't going to work. But I do want us to investigate all the options before we do that. The sirens from fire engines do come out the front, so when the engines leave the front of the fire station, the majority of the sound is going straight up, not back toward the parking lot. Now, Shelley, you did see we're back there. And if the doors are open, it probably is a little louder.
Go ahead.
The other thing is our firefighters are highly trained and highly skilled and highly educated. They could be trained to leave the barn before they turn the siren on, get out to the street before they turn the siren on. We could have lights on the playground indicating when it's in use, and the firefighters could monitor that and act accordingly with the sirens. And if we combine that with sound barrier type situation, I just want us to investigate all the options here. I really like this site. I don't want to obviously cause issues with that, but I really want to make sure that we investigate all of our options here, because I think this is the best site overall. I think we've got the Rock over on Rawson Avenue. We've got a bowling center. We've got our sports and entertainment center. We've got a retail center there. We come down this way, we've got our civic center. We've got our other numerous playgrounds. We have the other pavilions. I think another pavilion in this area is a great thing. This is our center of our city, and the more we can use it, and certainly this is a great destination. This would be a great access here. And it's not set off, covered up in a neighborhood somewhere where it's going to increase the traffic in a neighborhood, increase the bus traffic, increase the car traffic. This is an area that's set up for it. So
I certainly understand that. I just think it needs a little more investigation, that if there's something that we could do.
Alderman, just so you know, Chief has been involved in this pretty heavily, and we bounced some pretty wacky ideas off him, and he's been very cooperative and willing to work. So, yeah, we're working on it, but we want to present you with the six options.
I do want to state that when I said give us the worst-case scenario, and typically those back doors are open in summertime, so he did open up the back doors and exited out the front. So it was the maximum.
And then worst-case scenario, again, if we know that, if the fire department knows that the playground has participants there, they could act accordingly as well. The other thing is, with the sirens coming out the front of the fire engines, Pleasant View would be just the opposite. And you did say that you were there too, but the sirens are going to be focused straight at the park at Pleasant View as well.
But there's distance and there's buffers. And there could be a sound barrier as well.
We can do a sound barrier. That's not an issue.
Just options.
Alderman Wellen.
Well, another positive here is the medical assistance that's so very close. We've got the emergency.
I agree.
I think that it's important to not, you know, while I'm not saying that someone's child is not important by any means, but it's difficult to find the perfect spot for every single child. And if there's a bigger benefit because there's emergency access help by versus the percent of that happening, and we can also mitigate it by, you know, the measures that could be taken, I would hate to eliminate a site that's possible without vetting all of those possibilities and looking at, you know, all the pros and cons. I just, one of the reasons I was kind of pressing on the decibel issue was because if a small noise does it and a loud noise does it, are we really going to be able to solve the problem no matter where we go? Because there's going to be noise. And certainly, while you would want this to include everyone, the park system has wonderful parks that would not eliminate any children that have problems. You know, they could go to a very serene site as well if they found themselves in a situation. So we do build our parks to try to take in as many people as possible, and that's the goal. And I think that we need to look at both positives and I don't need to get an argument and feedback. I totally get what you're saying. I've got the point about that. I understand there's a fire station. You don't have to convince me on that.
No arguments.
I just want to say that while some parents might think that's important, another parent might like the fact that while my kid always falls down, and I like the fact that there's a health place next door. So those are the things where we hear. It'd be nice to look at some of the other sites before it gets too late tonight as well. So.
Okay, thank you, ladies. Move to return to your normal order.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. City Engineer.
Next site we looked at, we have Pleasant View. This is behind Pleasant View School, 4620 Evergreen. This is a new city neighborhood park. Some of the pros, again, all these sites have pros, all these sites have cons, and I can tell you that about every 2 hours it seemed like we were changing our favorite in our department. But the pros for this site, we don't need additional parking initially. There's plenty of parking available. There is plans for future parking expansions, but we feel like we could wait until some of the other facilities are built before we need that. Utilities are available. In fact, we're siting the pavilion pretty much right on top of a sewer line, and there is also an existing water line there. There are other park amenities that, as was mentioned, we just recently constructed. Trails are available. Again, you can get here via bicycle, stroller, walking. This is a more quiet area compared to some of the other parks we're looking at. It is near a fire station, so we indicate how important it is to have the medical access, but it's not directly adjacent to a fire station like the other site. This may not need a park impact fee amendment because it was already listed in the analysis. It is city-owned. There is bus access, although when the bus comes in, turns around, the buses will have to queue up somewhere else. Unless we extend this through, and maybe this might be an opportunity to talk about actually extending this through to the north. We already have a pavilion in the budget for this park on the tune of $232,800. And we also have other play equipment in future budgets, so we could probably eliminate some of those other future playground equipment if we had a nice playground like this here. And there are nearby schools. Some of the cons: need to construct a pavilion, but like we said, we already have one in the budget for this year. We would need to move a tennis court that we just built. There's increased traffic in residential neighborhood, as illustrated by the folks talking before the meeting tonight. It is potentially difficult to find for visitors. You have to really know where you're going. We have to put some good signage out there to direct visitors. There is no secondary access, as was stated. Again, this may be the emphasis. Maybe we need to talk about making that secondary access. There is no synergies with other users, as some of the other sites, like for example, the church. There is remote supervision. There's poor access for borrowing the key swing. They would actually have to know where to go to get the key to operate the swing, come back. And this is current plans for a, quote, neighborhood park as opposed to regional park. Shelley, is there anything you'd like to add about this site?
For the pros?
Either. Pros or cons.
Well, as I stated before, it is one of our favorites. And it's a playground that was, it's in the schematic to be done, and we're just putting our playground for all abilities. I think I stated that in my open comment period. One thing that I was inquisitive to learn was what defines a neighborhood park? So I went to unless you want to define it?
In general terms, it's the amount or the type of facilities and the number of facilities. Generally speaking, a neighborhood park is designed for a smaller radius, smaller neighborhood, more conducive for people to walk there rather than drive there. So it's smaller in size, it has less facilities, it has less active facilities. But there's no clear demarcation. There's a lot of overlap between a neighborhood park and a community park. A community park then would generally be larger, it would generally have more facilities, it would generally have more active facilities, also often has a natural resource component. So we always try to locate the regional park next to a wetland complex or a woodlot or something like that. So there's size ranges, but those are just guides. We have lots of exceptions to those ranges in our park system. But I'd say generally that's the difference.